With The Environment in Focus, I'm Tom Pelton. Last week, President Obama unveiled the nation's first proposed regulations to reduce carbon dioxide pollution from coal-fired power plants.
Earlier this month, hundreds of scientists declared that climate change is no longer a distant threat. Its cost can be measured in lost lives and livelihoods, lost homes and businesses, and higher prices for food, insurance, and rebuilding.
Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell of Kentucky and other coal state critics portrayed Obama's climate change policy as a radical Soviet-style power grab that will kill jobs.
It's a dagger aimed right at the heart of the American middle class.
Power industry lobbyists predicted that perhaps a third of America's 600 coal-burning power plants will close and that electricity rates will rise by $100 per month for an average family. Behind these scary claims, however, are facts that show Obama's plan to cut emissions from these plants by about 1% a year is actually quite modest and unlikely to raise electric rates. First, carbon pollution from power plants is already falling because hydraulic fracturing has produced a glut of cheaper, cleaner-burning natural gas. Second, Maryland and a coalition of northeastern states in 2008 imposed regulations very much like what EPA is now proposing for the rest of the country. This regional greenhouse gas initiative had no impact on electricity rates as it drove down carbon dioxide emissions by 40%. Economic growth in these nine states during this period was actually higher than in the rest of the country. Power plants simply switched from coal to natural gas, and by doing this, reduced their pollution. Kathy Kinsey is deputy director of the Maryland Department of the Environment. She said the new EPA rules are nothing like the heavy-handed federal mandates that the critics portray them as.
Not at all. Actually, the reverse is true. It's much more of a bottom-up approach. The proposed rule that EPA released on Monday really puts the states in the driver's seat with respect to developing plans to comply with the standard. And there are a number of different strategies that states can use, many of which most of the states in the country are already doing to one extent or another. Energy efficiency measures, clean solar generation and wind.
Instead of a socialist approach, the Obama administration, ironically enough, is using a Republican-style Wall Street-based method of controlling air pollution. The so-called cap-and-trade system Obama is using was championed by the first President Bush in 1990. Under cap-and-trade, coal plants are allowed to keep polluting. This is in part a necessity, because there is no affordable technology that can filter carbon dioxide out of smokestacks. So instead, power companies must, in effect, pay fees by buying pollution credits. These fees subsidize the installation of solar panels, wind turbines, and other cleaner sources of energy. The fees gradually discourage the use of coal, and they reduce demand for electricity by subsidizing better insulation of homes and businesses, and the purchase of more efficient air conditioners, dryers, and other appliances. Some people worry about Wall Street-style fraud with pollution trading. But so far, after 6 years of trading in Maryland and the Northeast, $300 million has been collected from power companies, 16,000 jobs have been created in solar, wind, and energy conservation, and no allegations of scams or price hikes have surfaced. So it's unlikely that Obama's similar conservative approach to global warming will be a dagger in the heart of the middle class or anyone else. On the other hand, doing nothing would be radical. With The Environment in Focus, I'm Tom Pelton.